The Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Good morning and
welcome to all those who are joining us in person. Welcome to all those who are joining us online. It is good that we are here together and we have made a call.
We lost your mic, Pastor.
There we go. How's that? All right. Welcome. All those joining us in person, and all those joining us online, together we will encounter God in word, in sacrament, and in the presence of each other. This is the second Sunday in Advent, and we wait for the presence of Christ. And so to prepare for worship this morning, let us begin as the words are printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sins, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed,
by what we have done and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Forgive us.
Renew us and lead us, so we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, The love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Now light our Advent candle this, the second week in Advent. We light the candle of faith. Give us faith, O God, to walk by faith and not by sight. Bless us as we mirror your mighty fire in the invisible flames,
and teach us to mirror your justice in the paths we prepare. Amen.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way for your only Son. By his coming, nurture our growth as people of repentance and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now I'd like to invite the children forward for a quick children's message. I don't know why I prefaced that with quick. not to be boring. Good morning, children. How are you today? I have a question for you. How do we hear news? How do we get news in our world? Yeah. The mailman brings us what? Typically they bring us the mail, and we also get a newspaper, and we get news from the newspaper. And how else do we get news? Maybe the TV, right? If your parents have phones, they might get the news on their phone.
Radio.
And the radio, right? We get news all kinds of places. But how do you think people in the ancient world got news?
The mailman.
The mailman. In the ancient world, there was no mail.
There
would have to be a messenger. Someone would have to come and bring you news. There was no paper, there was no radio, there was no TV. Someone brought you the news, and that person was called a messenger. And our story today is about John the Baptist. And he is God's messenger bringing news. And do you know what the news he brought was? Yeah, Jesus was coming, that God was coming back, and that Jesus represented God coming back to his people. And so we pause on this second week of Advent, and we light our candle of faith to remember that our faith is that God is with us. So let us pray. All right, one, two, three. Dear God, thank you for loving us.
Thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for being with us.
Amen.
Amen.
Now you're dismissed to go to Sunday school.
The first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. Hear now the word. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the wean child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read the psalm together today. It's found on page 4 of your bulletin. I will read the plain text, and if you'll please read the bolded text. This is Psalm 72. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son.
That he may rule your people righteously, and the Lord with justice.
That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people, and the hills in righteousness.
Let him defend thee among the people.
May he live as long as the sun and moon endure, from one generation to another.
Let him come down like rain upon the mown field, like showers that water the earth.
In his time may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace till the moon shall be no more.
Blessed are you, Lord God, the God of Israel. You alone do wonders and deeds.
And blessed be your glorious name forever, and may all the earth be filled with your glory. Amen, amen. The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, from the 15th chapter. Hear now the word. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thank you.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestors,' for I tell you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat in the granary, but the shaft he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We had a tradition in the Smithies household that, Advent tradition, I should add, that we would go once a year to a little Bavarian-themed village on the east side of the Cascade Mountains in Washington called Leavenworth. It's an old lumber town that reimagined itself into a vacation destination and converted its downtown area to resemble that of an old world Bavarian village. And at Christmas time, this town becomes a winter wonderland. And so we would trek over the mountains to this village. There would almost always be snow. And we would spend that daytime playing in the snow. And then near early evening, we would gather in the village square. For then there was the Christmas ceremony. A huge crowd would gather, prayers would be said, Christmas would be announced, more hymns sung, and then as the crowd sung Silent Night and they processed this Christmas star into the center of the village, all the lights in town would be lit. It is truly a blast experience to be there. You get all those warm, fuzzy, good feelings about Christmas, and that's times that we will always cherish together. But after the singing and the hymns and the carols and the lights, as the crowd began to disperse to their homes to get meals, another group would inevitably show up. And they showed up waving Bibles in hand, And they would find a street corner or some center of some closed street, and they would start yelling out, "Repent and believe." I heard one say, "I'm not mad at you, I don't hate you, but unless you repent, you will die in your sins." I will admit, it always struck me as beyond strange, after all this crowd had gathered to sing hymns and praise Christ, to have some group come up here and tell us we have to repent. After all, what do we have to repent for? But beyond that was just the anger at the spectacle, that this cannot be what our faith is about. I think these moments cause so much more harm than good. And so I must confess this morning that whenever I read the story about John the Baptist, my first inclination is to compare him to this group. I wonder, is John the Baptist just another street corner evangelist? Just another person yelling at a crowd of indifferent spectators trying to ignore him. So before I continue, I want to explain how John is not like this group. First, notice that John is not in a street corner. He's in the wilderness. He went away from people as far as anyone could travel to get away from the crowds. He is in the desert. And this brings point two. The crowds came to John. John did not show up unannounced somewhere to disrupt events. He was in the desert, and people came to him to hear what he had to say. And this desert is important because this is the place where God first dwelled with the nation. The place that God promised to return from. The desert is the place of covenant renewal. And here stands John, preparing the way of the return of God. Just as Isaiah foretells that a messenger would prepare a way in the desert. And so John cries out, "Repent, for God's kingdom is here." And this now leads us to the third difference between John and our group. We have forgotten the meaning of the word repent. We have reduced its meaning to simple behaviors. It means stop doing something and repent. Stop doing the bad thing, think bad about it, and ask to be sorry. And again, if this is the message of what repent means, this makes my encounter in Leavenworth all the more puzzling, because again, amidst the carol singings, the children sledding, and families having a moment together, what is there to be sorry for? But friends, repentance doesn't just mean those things. Its meaning is far deeper. Its meaning is to turn around, like turn around 180 degrees. It means to come back. But above all, repent means to change your mind. So what John is really saying is change your thinking, because the kingdom is here. And John's words speak to all of us who think that we must somehow earn God's favor by what we do or by the groups we belong to. And connected to that desire to belong to the group comes with it the great trap of all religions, which is pride. Pride that you have the group, you're in the group, and therefore you have now have possession of God. That you are entitled to God while others are excluded. So instead of being the comforted people by the gospel, we become the prideful, comfortable people of the world. So John says, don't say to yourself, we have Abraham as our descendants. For God is able to raise up these stones as children. And I know we have many people in this group who like to collect rocks. These rocks are beautiful and precious. But which one of us can raise up one of those rocks to be flesh and blood children? See, no one can. This is God's work. No one can raise up stones as children. No one is able to come to God, to find God. No one can earn God. No one in themselves has the ability to climb up to heaven. So John says, change your mind. It's not up to you. No deed, no membership can attain it, because this is God's work. It is God who saves. It is God who gives. And it is what God does, is give the kingdom. And here, God gives the presence of God's self to all. And we call this grace. God is not far away, something to be reached. But God is here, now, with you. And John says, bear fruits worthy of repentance. In other words, live in the grace of this changed mind. Live knowing that the kingdom has come near. Live knowing that God is within you. And this is the great mystery that our sacraments point to. It's the presence of God that touches you, that dwells with you. And yes, we are touched by water, maybe submerged, maybe sprinkled, maybe splashed, and we eat a meal. But it's not because we do these things. It's because God is on the other side doing these actions for us. God who comes to us in these elements. Because it's not just water or food. Is the Holy Spirit, the breath and fire of God in the water, uniting us to this divine life, uniting us to God. It is God who moves, God who gives faith to believe these wonderful things. It's the presence of Christ in the bread and wine, and the word of God that says to you, this is for you. So as we eat and drink, or bathe in the waters of grace, we hear the promises of John the Baptist. The kingdom of heaven has come near, because heaven is now within you. So this, then, is our Advent journey. It is not to climb up to heaven, to grasp God by our own merits or our own membership, but it's a journey to realize and know this simple truth, that God has already come down to you. St. Paul says it the best. Now, since you have come to know God, or rather, to be known by God. God knows us first, calls us, strengthens us, and gives us the promise of the presence of the Spirit of fire and breath in our souls. And that makes us who we are. So our journey is simple. To know and to realize this truth, that what we seek is already within us. Heaven already dwells with you, in you, and for you. The invitation of Advent is simple. Be transformed by this knowledge and grow into this truth. The kingdom of heaven has come, will come, is coming, has come down when Christ was born. Christ has come, the kingdom is now. God dwells with you.
As we prepare for the fullness of Christ's presence, let us pray for a world that yearns for new hope. God, you renew the church in every age. We give thanks for hymn writers and theologians, especially John of Damascus, whom we commemorate today. Inspire teachers, writers, and musicians to delight and instruct your people. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You give us a vision of creation in harmony, when hurting and destruction will be no more. Teach us to be stewards of the earth and companions to its creatures. Restore to balance and wholeness what human greed has harmed. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You defend the cause of all who are poor and oppressed. Raise up leaders who will govern with equity and serve with common good. Guide judges, lawmakers, and public officials to protect the rights of those who cannot advocate for themselves. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You deliver those in need from suffering and fear. Come to the aid of any who are exploited or abused, especially children, elders, and victims of human trafficking. Provide safety and help to our neighbors without shelter, refugees, and those fleeing violence. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You urge your people to welcome one another as you have welcomed us. Nurture ministries of hospitality and care in this and every congregation. We pray for people who are homebound, hospitalized, or separated from loved ones, especially Leif, Aaron, Reg, Mariah, Jane, Kevin, Mike, Jim, Kelly, Dave, Joe, Patty, Deb, Teresa, Clifford, Jim, Jean, Nicole, Madeline, Mary Ellen, Barry, Pastor Jane, the families of Randy Harmon and Jim Shaw, and victims of the war in Ukraine. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You embrace all who have died trusting in your promises, and we give thanks for their faithful witness. Sustain in us hope until we are united with them in the joy of your eternal presence. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of our longing, you know our deepest needs. By your Spirit, gather our prayers and join them with the prayers of all your children. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. And if we could all please stand now as we prepare for our meal. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should in all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promises of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new. In the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promises to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave it thanks, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling amongst us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection, and we look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come amongst us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people and fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
this is the gift of God for the people of God. And all are welcome to come forward and receive communion. If you wish to come forward and only receive a blessing, please come with your arms crossed. But all are invited to come. Be strong, do not fear. Here is your God who comes to save you.
Thank you.
And may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace. Amen. Let us pray. Faithful God, in this meal you have remembered your mercy, bringing heaven to earth in the body and blood of Christ. As we wait for the day when all your promises will be fulfilled, sustain us and strengthen us by this holy ministry. Guide us towards your promised future, coming to birth in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Now we'd like to pause for a moment of announcements. Artie's in the back with the microphone if there are any announcements, and it looks like we have a bunch.
Everyone who's taken a gift keg from the giving tree, I see that there are only 5 kegs left, and if you haven't taken a keg, I encourage you to do so so that we can meet the wishes of all the foster children in their gift wishes. I've heard from the Foster Parents Association, and they will be picking up all the gifts on the 16th of this month, so like 12 days from now. So after you've purchased your gifts, bundle them together or put them in a gift bag and attach the gift tag to them and place them under our beautiful tree that we're going to be decorating in the narthex today. And thank you for helping foster kids have a Merry Christmas.
Blue Christmas this year will be at the First Presbyterian Church on 12th Street at 7 o'clock. And for someone that doesn't know what Blue Christmas is, it's an opportunity to get together for those people who might not have lost loved ones or are feeling sad during this normally joyful season of Christmas. If you'd like more information, come see me. It's the 21st of December at First Pres, 7 o'clock.
Thank you, Rhonda, for that. The pastor there graciously extended an invitation to all of us to actually participate and help jointly lead that service with them. Unfortunately, it is at the same time as our Holden Eating Village, so I didn't decline that invitation. But for whoever is among us, who that might be a more appropriate way of celebrating and being in the moment, you are certainly more than invited or allowed to go. There is no conflict between these communities. There will also be having an art display at some point in that day from Ukrainian artists. They will give us more information to follow on that. Are there any more announcements? We have a few from the top.
Well, the early risers enjoyed singing our Advent anthem for you this morning. We really could use some more members, so if you like to sing, please consider joining our group. We usually sing the first Sunday of each month. Our music is easy to learn, and our practices aren't long. So see me, Jean Amundsen, if you'd like to find out more. Thanks.
A couple of quick announcements from me then. Again, please, you're invited to join us this Wednesday at 7 for Holden Evening Prayers. And the 18th, please mark your calendars. We're going to have a congregational vote after service on the 18th to ratify some changes to the Constitution. Emails have been sent out to all of our members. If you have any questions, please contact myself or Marion or and just plan on being here on the 18th and staying briefly after service before coffee and cookies to get this vote out of the way. And then finally, I want to just announce that as we have vet visitors and we have members here who may want a moment to have with the pastor, there is a sign-up sheet now on the greeter's table. If you'd like me to contact you at some point in the coming week, you can write out who you are and how you wish to contact me. It's there for our visitors if they want to learn more, but it's also for our members as well Armenians who are wanting to speak to me and you don't know how to ask, you have the sign up on the table. With all that being said, let us prepare our hearts for the benediction. God, the eternal Word, who dwells with us in Jesus, who holds us in the grace of the Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
To remind you all that we're decorating the Christmas tree out here, so come have some festival times of goodies and snacks and have some fun decorating.